Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
The Survivor Specialists are back, and we're digging deeper into episode number 5 of Survivor 46. Finally, something different, something unique, which means we had to bring back somebody unique, and that is Troyzann Robertson, who we haven't had on the podcast in, I think, since the season 40 finale predictions. Is that the last time you were here?
Well, I think so, probably. Yeah, like season 40 predictions. Ages ago.
You came on and predicted that Michelle, you put Michelle as the winner just because you wanted her to win and you knew you were doing the podcast with me. So that was smart move. Somehow it didn't get you back on for 6 seasons, but here you are.
Oh, okay. Well, it doesn't seem, yeah. It's, time flies.
It does. It does, especially in the Survivor world.
Well, and I got to put on this time, too. Look at all my stuff back there. See, my trinkets and shit from Fiji and my torch. Wait. What?
You got to get used to it. You're reversed.
Yeah, that there.
You're reversed. You want to point left, point right. Makes no sense.
See it?
There it is. If anybody who doesn't see the torch at this point, something's up with your eyes. It's right there.
Yeah, I don't know backwards. I'll never be a pilot.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to be talking about gambling with your idol. I know in the previous episodes we did, do Survivor fans actually want villains? We talked about that after episode two when everybody was mad about Jess being air quote bullied. In episode number four, we talked about, what did we talk about? Lost votes equaling lost drama. So today we're going to be talking about gambling with your idol with Troy Zan, who did have an idol on both of his seasons.
Yes, I did.
He's a and pro.
He did not appreciate Blake.
I'm not a pro. When they talk about like we can't find him and this jungle's so big and all that, we all know that. But like there is a way that you can be an idol person. Like once you find one, you kind of understand how it works. I don't know if I should say every little detail because I don't want to give away any too big of secrets, but I just think it's funny when people are looking in the most remote places, and sometimes when I'm out there, they're looking with no cameras on them. I'm like, it's never going to be there. There's an audience watching this. You have to have a camera close, or at least give, they don't give you hints, but I mean, I think it's pretty funny.
Definitely walk around the perimeter and see what the cameraman's doing of like this far.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is anymore in the news, I think you have to there's not like, they're not buried anymore. They're not like down, like where the clues aren't buried. They're in sight somewhere. So when they start digging, I'm like, you can't dig on a 5 mile square island. It's impossible. No one would ever find an idol. So start looking like, they're going to make it somewhat simple and think like a cameraman. Mm-hmm. A cameraman has to show the audience where it is. He can't show a chunk of sand.
Well, how Russell broke the game kind of back in 19 was he realized, hey, there's going to be idols. If I'm going to find one, there's going to be a cameraman who's really excited being near me. And so I'm going to start looking a little bit harder. If they're not following me, there's no reason. So it's kind of how Russell broke it. Now we're seeing them get advantages and the need to go and solve different kinds of clues, riddles, things like that, just to get their idol. So it's a little bit different.
Yeah. Well, it makes it a little bit harder. It's not like you can just find an idol and there it is. It's like, I don't mind that where you have to kind of do an extra bit to get the idol. Like, my second season where I had to, find the clue in a bottle and then catch it and then, get it out of, during a challenge at the end of the challenge where your whole tribe mates are just staring right at you. Like, what do I do? Do I either, there's no, my second season, when I had to do that, I was like, even if I can't get it and they're staring at me, I'm going to get it. I'll try to do it secretly, but if I have to, I'll start looking at it, I'll dive in and pull it out. And like, I have it. Mm-hmm. So,
I like the new idea of grab the machete and measure everything too.
That's so cool.
Day one of getting a machete in my hands, it's just go put it up against everything and see what happens. See if there's any Scooby-Doo things that get unlocked by putting the machete in a perfect hole or something.
Well, to me though, the machete is okay. It's not exact. Like when she has it, and they said they measure 28 feet out or 28, lengths. I'm like, you could be off by an inch each time. All of a sudden, you're off a couple feet.
Yeah, you're off a full machete or two.
You're taking for a box that big. Mm-hmm. You can't be that far off. So, unless she's really smart and using the cameraman again, where he's filming her and he's kind of giving a little bit of a we only see an edited version, we don't know really what's said, what's not.
I thought what was over most here, fascinating Jim, about where it was at, where it was actually hidden, was that it was just in the middle of the path. There wasn't actually a landmark there at all. It was just the middle of the path, but it wasn't hidden very deep, so that probably helped with the camera people, where they were like, even if she is off by a little bit, if she starts going out, right, she's
and I think I think a lot of people always are going like, well, where is everybody? Like, how are they not showing up when people are reading the clues and the boxes? Sometimes that stuff isn't done where it might be done. Like they'll say, Troy Zan, you're going to go to a confessional. When you do a confessional, it's off limit. The trail's off limits to anybody. You can't go even down there. So they like you, in a sense, there's a producer standing there, like no one can go by. So you have a lot of room in between to do your own thing. You can read a clue. You can look for stuff. No one's coming because it's like the tribe is off limits. It's the only time you really get a chance to be like alone and try something like
that. There goes the illusion of severe stress, everybody. Yeah, Troy Zan has broken it down in 6 minutes. Well, it's gone.
I'm not saying every time, but there's moments where I go, come on, man, this, these girls on a, it's in the middle of the path. There's no one around for whatever, 15 minutes while she's doing that. Someone's going to come by. I mean, if they're smart enough, and you would think like all these people nowadays in the new era are super fans, which I'm not sure if I really think the super fans.
Well, I mean, Troy Zan, let's answer this right now.
Would 8 out of 20 is right? Not very super. Yeah.
What?
Would you have gotten the seasons right last night? Would you have done them in the right order?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I know the seasons. Yeah, for sure. Now the new era, easy.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm glad one of my seasons was in there. I don't know why they showed Debbie. You figure they show a winner or like, I don't know. Yeah, no, I have magnets on my fridge. They're all in order of
there you go. That's the dedication. So if you're going to say you're a super fan, unless you have magnets in order on your fridge,
I'm a super fan to a point. I'm not a super fan. I think I've told you this before, where I don't go on every single website and I don't know anything about the edgic stuff and all these, I don't know, like that kind of thing. I'm a fan to watch. I've always been a fan watching it and kind of knowing how the game goes. And I don't even really, I don't remember every single challenge from every season. I don't even remember every single person's name, so I'm not like a fan like that. I'm really a super fan watching it and how does it work, and not like, you know, I don't go and, you know, online and do chats and play. I've never played Survivor online. I don't even know how that would even work. So that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, you know, fan, you know, but the thing is
the real thing. Yeah, who cares about the online version?
I always laugh like when people are fighting idols or even talking in general, like, it really is. And you hear it all the time. It's one thing when you're watching it. It's another thing when you're playing. It's just a whole different. It's nothing like watching it. It's nothing at all like watching it. So when you're standing there, you're going, oh, my God, I remember seeing this on TV. But like, it's just I'm here and I don't know what to do, because I on TV, it's kind of like the editors kind of lead you to where you want to go. And you're like, I got to do my own. I don't even know what to do at this part. I'm not sure what to say. I'm not sure, you know, what's actually happening, because you're trying to figure out everybody else's game and you don't really have to do that on TV. You're kind of almost told what people are doing and you're shown what people are doing. Mm-hmm. Where you're there, you're not. You don't know what someone's saying. You know, that's why the paranoia is so high. You just what everyone's really doing.
So this is a good segue into the gambling with your idol situation here, because Jem came out preseason, and in her preseason press, she said her hot take was that you should always play your immunity idol every time you get it. And then she's the one who gets voted off with the immunity idol in her pocket. But here's what's funny, because Shuri's saying, I think you're hitting it on the head. You can come in with a plan. You can say everything you want. You go 11 days into this game, though, you start to get a feel for what's going on. You start to say, hey, maybe I am in a better spot. Maybe this is not working, or maybe this is working. So
I'm on the vibe tribe. Nothing bad's ever going to happen.
You start saying that, you know, it's over. And people learn quick, because everybody does it. I don't care how good or bad you are. When you are in, like, you're winning and you're in a good spot, and you start to relax and you're just in the good spot. And maybe you're not looking for idols for the down the road thing, and you're in a good spot. And as soon as you are in a good spot, it is, you're going to tribal and you're out and you're blindsided. You just, it happens so often, and you would think people would learn, like, even by what people are saying. I'm thinking like, oh geez, but they had me kind of fooled last night. I actually thought, is it, her name's Jim, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I picked her on like a winner in a sense.
I thought she was doing great. Yeah.
She looked like she was smart. She knew what she was even like last night. I'm like, I guess she's getting like a winner's edit, kind of like, if she plays this idol right and everything's like, she's dialed in. She seemed super intelligent and kind of almost like, I felt like she knew the game better than most players out there in a sense, you know? So I was kind of surprised. Like, she just was not, no idea that she should have played her idol, I guess.
And I think it's something where that like kind of backfired on her of, I've been looking for this idol the whole time and I know this. And like somehow Tim scooping that out of like, reality of like, I don't know how Tim figured that out, of like seeing some thought in her mind or some weird expression she did on that, but like that really buried her, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I was surprised with that as well. Like I just, you know, he came out like, I really haven't seen much of his game, so it's almost like I'm not sure He's a guy where I go, casting. I'm not sure about that one. He doesn't seem like a.
You don't like Tiki Man? When am I going to poop?
I like Tiki Man because the reason why I like Tiki Man and because I named my first tribe, the Merge tribe, after my monkey, my marmoset monkey, whose name was Tiki. And I named the tribe Tikiano. That's behind the scenes. No one even knows that. I'm like, I kind of copied Boston Rob. Like, you know what? And I told the producer, I said, I'm going to get them to name after my monkey in some fashion or other. So like, how are you going to do that? I'm like, well, these people are all kind of religious and they're all into God. And it's just, I said, hey, you guys, and they're like, well, what do you think? And then they come up with stupid names. I go, well, you guys are all like, you know, I said, you know, the word Tiki in Samoa means God. And they're like, oh, really? And I said, and it's the year of the God. So Ano. And they're like, what? I said, the year of God, like, you know, Ano, like Ano. Yeah. Like, they believed it. So I said, what about Tiki Ano? And then they just walked away. But then everyone starts talking, like, and Lee's like, I like that kind of Troy sound. It's got that Tiki Ano. I'm going, oh my God, they're going to do it. And sure enough, and I turned to the guy, you didn't see it. It's all edited out. I said, they just named the monkey. They named the tribe after my monkey.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, that didn't make the cut. That didn't make the cut. And I don't feel like you ever told me that. We're 22 seasons after your first season. Well,
I feel like I tell some, you know, I've told that story before a bunch of times. I figured who I tell.
Yeah. So with Jem and with having this and she's, yeah, Blake, I think you hit the nail on the head. Like Tim is coming out saying, I don't trust you. I think you might have this. Where did you find this Beware advantage? And she's trying to deny it. I feel like there's something behind the scenes that we didn't see that we're going to get in some exit press somewhere down the line where it's going to make a lot more sense. But when she's being called out like this, Troyzan, when this is happening, why is she not a little bit more on alert to play this idol? Why is she sitting there and saying, I'm going to hold on to this thing, even when she has the tribal council?
Yeah, I know. Well, and the thing is, too, we see a section of tribal council. So there's like a 2-hour tribal council. And most likely she got asked a lot of questions. And so when you start getting, and you can tell, when Jeff starts asking you a lot of questions, you're like, oh, shit, I'm in trouble here. Even though no one's saying anything, why is he asking me what I think? And why is he asking me about anything about idols or this and that? Yeah, you can pick it up. That's why I was always like, I always had my idol ready. I'm like, I'm going to wait to see how many questions Jeff asked me personally. If I get more than like 4, I'm like, oh, shit, I'm in trouble. He's asking me too many questions because they want to get, you know, like, it's your last hurrah to be on TV. So I watched like last night, I watched Ben real close and he got like the first question. I'm like, oh God, is Ben going to really go home? It's like, so are they going to try to fool us? I don't know. But I was adamant about, like, I said the same thing. Like, I will never go home with an idol in my pocket. Mm-hmm. So the first time I played it, I didn't have to, but I wasn't 100% sure. And I would honestly rather play it and look, have everyone go, oh God, you didn't need to play it, as opposed to going home and you're an idiot. Mm-hmm. I even said that the first time I played. I said, Jeff, I said, there's a lot of people in the, you know, they've gone home with it in their pocket and they look like idiots. I'm not going to be that person. Here you go. Mm-hmm. And I played it. You know, I did get my name, you know, on a couple of, you know, I didn't have to use it.
Well, Jay really helped you out in that episode. Jay, for anybody who doesn't remember.
Being like 4 votes for Jay, 3 for me, but I did get votes. So like, you know, as it went, it kind of looked good. If I was going to go further in the game, it was looking good to the jury. Cause every time I would get a vote and they'd say it doesn't count, I'd look at the jury and Jonas would be like going, yeah, they'd all be nodding. Like they're happy. And like, oh, they're going to vote for me if I get to the end. So it's actually kind of like you can play it in a sense. I didn't need it to save me, but it kind of got me in good with like, oh, he's playing a really good game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like votes didn't get counted against him because he did play his idol. Didn't need to, but kind of, you know what I mean? The second time I was obviously like one of the famous.
You didn't have a choice at that point. Otherwise, you're going to be
one of the famous tribals of all time that people hate because they love Suri.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. No votes cast. Suri, you just go home. And that was when everybody said, wow, Survivor has officially gone too far.
And we were all surprised because we had no idea. We didn't. We didn't know who had what. We had guessed. I thought Ty might have 2. I know for sure he had 1. So it was just one of those, like, you know, I don't know what's happening. It was like.
You were the last one to play it? You were, right?
Yeah, I did that on purpose, too. I was like, you know, I'm going to wait to see whatever he does. I'm going to wait. Because I wanted, again, the jury to be like, oh, my God, he has one too, you know. So it's like I waited, and then I said Jeff, and everyone freaked out. So I mean, you know,
you ruined the lives of so many Cerise fans. Oh, right?
Made her play the Traitors and Big Brother because of that.
Yeah. So
one thing that pops into my head for Jim is, it's interesting hearing the idea of, like, you have the instincts of tribal council to know when to play your idol or not. But for everybody on Green, that was the first time. Like, yes, it's episode 5 for us,
right?
But that's the first time you're getting your torch on fire. That's the first time you're hearing these questions live. And maybe there isn't the ability to, like, I think if I had an idol and it's my first time I'm vulnerable, there is a thing in the back of my head where I, like, I need to get through at least one of these to make my idol worth it. And maybe that kind of idea popped into her head and kind of like backfired for her.
Yeah. Well, when you do find an idol, you do feel, you let your guard down a little bit. So you don't play as, like, in a sense, as paranoid and as strong as you. When I didn't have any idols, I had way more conversations. I just felt like I did, you know, a social game, just way more. That's kind of a, in a sense, like if you have one, it's like a fall. That's my second season. I found one early, and the whole time I was somewhat relaxed, so I didn't really get shown much. So it's like, mm-hmm. you know, if I was freaking out and, you know, constantly going back and forth and, like, going, you know, gung ho 100%, then, you know, without an idol, who knows? So it's kind of like a catch 22 thing where it's, you know,
so it lulls you into that false sense of security. And it seems like that's what Jem had 100% last night. She felt like her alliance was so good. And we do see this. I mean, to that point, Blake, that you made, like, Chris Noble went home at his first tribal council with an idol in his pocket. I don't remember. I guess Kelly Kim had gone to a tribal council, but she went home with the two idols in her pocket when she went home. Like, you do see people who don't go to tribal council early, and so then their first time they have an idol and they misread it more often. I feel like that can happen because you're not knowing what to expect or what's going to go wrong. If Siga had lost earlier, though, I don't think they would have necessarily even gone after Jem, because had they lost earlier, this idol hunt and all of that stuff wouldn't have been going on. Remember this, they even said in this episode, for 3 days they were digging. And I feel like if this is right at the beginning where they just found this thing, they might have just started digging because it might have been right after the first, you know, they lose their first immunity challenge. And now they're going over to tribal council. They don't have that much time, so they're not digging as a whole unit, so they don't really know who it is. And I think maybe the Charlie's Angels Alliance would have stuck together in that situation, which maybe then Jem would have been able to feel things out a little bit better. I feel like with this being the first tribal council, she had nothing to feel out. She had no idea that people were actually lying in the game of Survivor because she hadn't had to experience it in any way, shape, or form.
Right. I mean, basically, so her mistake was, in a sense, like when she just started talking to people, asking like it too much, where it's like, it was that kind of the, her, I mean, that kind of like, I can see that happening because it's Survivor's so weird. It's like, you have to have a social game, but if you go, in a sense, always too hard, people just pick it up. It's like, why is she saying this to me? Why is all of a sudden she talking like this? It's like, and you get paranoid. And once you get paranoid of a person, you're like, uh-oh, she's really playing. Mm-hmm. And if some, you know, especially in the beginning of the, you know, before the merge, someone that's, you think that's playing too hard socially and physically, that's why I feel like Hunter, dude, you're playing too hard. You're going to get voted out the second the merge happens. I mean, it's just like, no, it happens every
time. You might have an idol when that happens.
It happens every day. I know, but it's like, dude, it's like, plus part of me, like, I don't think people are aware of themselves. Like what they're actually presenting to the other people, like, you know, just going a little bit extra overboard on saying like, well, what do you think? I'm with you and this and that. And then and if you really haven't said like, I'm with you and I'm your number one, you know, and you just happen to bring it up now, people start to go, what are they saying that for?
Yeah.
It's like with Kim did that to me when she's going to vote me out. Like I thought I was with her and Chelsea, everything's right. And all of a sudden, you know, they start saying like, so we're voting out Alicia, right? And I'm like, we already talked about this 3 times. Mm-hmm. Why are you saying it a fourth time? So then you go, uh-oh, mm-hmm. something else is happening. Like there's no reason to go redundant over something that you've already discussed. So little things you have to pick up. And
yeah, it seems
Jem just maybe, I don't know, she didn't pick some stuff up or we didn't see it. I don't know.
Because it seems like she was the aggressor there, where she was doing the, I'll vote whoever you want to vote. Yeah. I'll vote whoever you want to vote. And you're sitting there as Tim, and granted, we haven't seen them go to tribal, so we don't know exactly what the relationship is. But if you're Tim and you're going, I just told you that I think you have an idol, and I think that you hid the beware advantage or whatever, and you got us going, why would I then turn around and be like, oh, okay, you're going to vote however I want? Like, and then she's saying that to Ben, and then she's saying that to Charlie. And it just felt like it was never going to work. It did lead to the great scene of she has the machete, so Ben that grabs the hammer to keep space.
That was a crazy scene, too.
I know. Like, when are they going to come on? Really going to keep a hammer? That guy.
And I don't get how Jim sees the aggression kind of that conversation and, like, thinking she'll be fine. Like, if you do have the parachute, why not pull the parachute no matter what? Especially when, like, I think if you're paying attention, this is the fifth tribal council, somebody else, or, yeah, fifth tribal council, fourth tribal council, or Randon goes home. Yeah. But like, there's going to be a merge very soon.
Right.
Of, like, oh, let me just do this to get to the next one and then get all that information of, like, I just want to get the idol out. Honestly, I felt really bad about making you guys dig in some tree for 3 days. I just didn't know how to broach it without me getting voted out. Sorry, guys. But now you need me.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm never into, like, sharing an idol or telling anybody else that I have an idol, just because I think if you keep it to yourself, then it's going nowhere. No, you don't have a chance of somebody telling some. Don't tell anybody, but I'm going to tell just you. And then that person goes off and, you know, says, well, they told me not to tell you. And then all of a sudden, five people know. So I do like the fact that she kept it secret, but I just felt like when you have an idol and someone starts to talk to you like Tim does, you have to incense, like, somehow in your gut, tell yourself you don't have an idol. So start talking like that, like asking questions to Tim about, like, okay, this is what you think. I'm going to tell you why I don't. And, like, list what this is what we should do, you know, as opposed to being, I don't know, she played it down so much that it just didn't sound in those, you know, people are smart when you're out there, your senses are jacked up and your intuition. If something doesn't sound quite right, you're like, I don't know, man. Why is she all of a sudden talking like this? Mm-hmm. It can be a few words or a gesture, and you're like, then something's not right here.
I think what was most confusing to me as to why she didn't play it, other than the fact that beforehand she said she would at any situation, was you knew the person that you were up against, that you were voting for, was very well liked on your tribe.
Right.
It wasn't like you had, and Troy's, I'm trying to think, like, on your season, you had Matt be the first boot on your tribe from
right.
One World.
Right.
And, like, the other option during that, Bill got a vote, Colton got a vote. Okay, like, Colton might have been, you know, disliked, but it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't so obvious. I feel like with this one, if that other person was somebody who couldn't do anything in challenges, was barely talking to anybody, was pissing everybody off, you know, pulling a Brandon Hance or a Jatia, dumping rice, like, just going crazy, then it becomes, okay, I'm not going to play my idol because why would they get rid of me? But in this situation, it's, wow, Ben's the vibe guy. He's a threat later in the game. But also, we really enjoy being around him. I feel like that would almost trigger me as, like, maybe I should play this, because who's Ben going to vote for? Maybe they knew Ben didn't have a vote, but who's Tim going to vote for? Because that might be the person who goes home if they're able to get on people's good sides. I mean, I don't know. I've never played the game. You have.
Yeah, I feel like in this new era, there's so many extra things, too. It's not just, like, one idol, you know, and there's just advantages. There's just extra stuff. Someone can get an extra vote or whatever. There's just more things. And in my mind, like, if I have an idol in this era, it's like, I'm playing it soon. I'm not going to hang on to it like I hung on to mine. I could never do that in the new era. I just feel like, you know, if you feel like if there's a remote chance, even just the remote chance, play it, because you'd rather look stupid playing it for no reason than stupid with going home in your pocket. To me, I've always said that. I'm like, I will not be the stupid guy having it in my pocket. You know, I know there's, like, well, I want to save it for later. But to me, it's so early in the game, too, that she should kind of know, like, she plays this idol. Other idols are coming out, especially in this era. So there's a chance to get another one.
Yeah.
You know.
So it's one of those things, you know. And yeah, I either she didn't have as tight of alliance as she thought as well, because,
well, and obviously she didn't. So it's kind of like,
and what's crazy is someone helped vote with her this time around, and like,
yeah,
I think she went home 4-2, and I'm just wondering if it's like the person that voted with her isn't like, hey, do you have it? Like, I'm wondering why we didn't see that kind of conversation.
I wanted to hear more of the conversation between Charlie and was it Maria?
Maria,
right?
Yeah.
I wanted to hear more of that, because that was the one where it's like they're, in a sense, they're making the decision, right? That it was up basically to them. So, and I felt like, you know, obviously the editors aren't going to give us the answer,
the full
but
story.
I would have loved to hear more of that conversation, so that we could have found out, like, really where, in a sense, Maria's, I think it was on Maria more than probably Charlie, as far as like, if I think if Maria said, yeah, that's a good idea, we need to get rid of Jim.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, she would, because she was talking more to Jim than Daniel, to me, throughout the whole first part
I think what ended up happening with this was the girls felt insanely tight. The three women were going to vote together. There was no doubt about it in Jem's mind.
Right.
She was assuming that either Ben or Tim had lost their vote. She knew Maria had an extra vote, so she's feeling amazing in this situation.
Right.
And then you have Charlie, who it's like, well, if Maria can't convince Charlie, then Charlie votes with the men, but Maria has her extra vote. Or if she does, I think they were assuming that Jem was assuming that she had Maria and she had Mariah on lockdown. And it was just a matter of, is Charlie going to vote with them as well?
Right.
And she just assumed yes. She never anticipated that Maria was going to flip on her. And it's funny what you said though earlier, Troyzan, which was exactly what Jem said in the pregame press, was they rehide these idols so much that what's the point of holding on to it? And so in this situation, I think this was probably the only situation that she could ever find herself in where she wouldn't play the idol. I feel like any other situation, she probably plays it. And like Blake just crossed himself to make sure everybody knows that he's, you know, he's apologetic to her, I guess. But any other situation, this just worked out as poorly as it could have for Jem, who wanted to play her idols.
Yeah, because it going to tribal council for the first time, you're like, we just got here. I'm going to play my idol on the first time we're here. I don't need to. I mean, everybody's been telling I'm tight with these three girls, or at least we didn't get to see a lot of a conversation between Jem and Maria. So I would have liked to have seen that as well, because then you never know, like Maria would have been saying things like, oh, she's really not trusting Jem as much as she says she is, or she's tighter with the other girl, Mariah.
Mariah, right? Yeah. You like that Maria and Mariah are in the same tribe, Troy?
I get confused. I mean, I mean, thank God they brought back, and I think I had an influence on this. Like, they brought back the theme song with the little, you know, the intro with the.
That was you?
The clip. I talked to Jeff, and well, I would always say to Jeff and Matt, I'm like, you guys, why are you not adding in the intro video? We look forward to that as survivors. Oh, there's my face and there's my name. I said, but the fans and the people that are watching connect to that name right off the bat. And it's the theme song. It's like you wouldn't cut out the theme song from Friends. People go, what are you doing? Like a theme song from any hit show. It's the theme song. It's what gets you connected. And the names are right there. So if I feel like I see your name and I can say, oh, there's Tevin. I'm connected to him. I feel like I know the guy. So like, it helps your show. Like, what? Don't cut that out. Don't put it on YouTube. So they finally brought that back, which is good. So it's like you can see, you know, you can connect like who's who and what's what. I don't know why I said this, but I like whenever I get talking.
You're passionate, bro.
I'm like a tree. There's a branch. There's another branch. I'm way out here.
When we were doing this series, it was always like, we're going to be really focused on one topic, so it doesn't just feel like a recap. And I was like, and our first guest is going to be Troyzan, so we ain't going to be focused on shit. We're going to be all over the place today.
People got to come on, reel him in, reel him
yeah,
in.
Yeah, yeah.
Stay out on branch 7 out there.
Let's get some comments up here real quick, because I think we can comment on these and see what we think. Frank said, Maria has to clearly also be tight with Tim, though, not shown, because on Journey, Tim names Maria as his number won over the guys and disclosed that she has an extra vote. Why do you think we weren't let in? Like, we've heard Tim say he feels close to Maria, but Maria has never once said that she feels like, wow, me and Tim are going to go far in this game. Why do you think that wasn't mentioned, considering last night it seemed like it had a big impact on the vote?
Because I'm not sure if Tim goes very far, so they're going to not show much of his story. So they're going to be like, yeah, what's the point of that conversation? You know, whether, you know, because they're like, we got 90 minutes. We have so much. And does that conversation
play the Taylor Swift stuff now?
Is that conversation going to count because Tim goes home in two episodes and he's not, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. That's my guess.
Mm-hmm. I could see that for sure. And then where was it? So Frank also had this one. Let's all go Heidel hunting separately. Comment was the nail in her coffin. Why would you want someone to find that prior to a tribal to shake things up? Spotlight was on her. Of course, she needed to say something so that she could retrieve it on her own to get her vote back, etc. But it's not a good look. What do you think there?
That's a smart comment from Frank, because I was the same. Like, you don't say that. And if you do say it, maybe we don't see a reaction, but I'll guarantee you there's a reaction in everybody's brain going, why'd she say that? Mm-hmm. Like, or a little bit at least. And then it's that, she's acting. She says something different. She says something off color or off key, or she just didn't sound like something. Why would you say that? Mm-hmm.
Whenever it comes to idol hunting, do people ever go together or obviously we're going to go alone. Like, why are you calling attention to, we should all go by ourselves?
I honestly don't know. I've always said I'm never going to search as a group. It's not a team idol. You might going to even search with two guys. And even if the other guy gets them, like, so what? But even the smartest players on Game Changers, my Tavua tribe, which was Ozzy, Sarah, Sari, and Andrea and Zeke, all pretty good, savvy players. They all hunted for an idol together, and I had the idol in my pocket. I just laughed. I did the same thing Jem was doing. I sit back there, the camera would come by, and I act like I'm looking around, and then I look at the camera going, you know, like these people. Like, what are they? And then I'd be doing dig stuff, and they start laughing. I was sitting back watching like Ozzy climbing trees. They're like, what a kook. Being like, you know,
Ozzy. Dude, bring Ozzy back. Era Ozzy.
Let him do his porn star stuff.
Yeah.
Guys, like, Ozzy, like, he's lost his cookies, man. Well, I loved Ozzy before I played. He was one of my favorite guys. Playing with him, I completely changed my mind. He's the biggest tool in the case. As far as I'm concerned,
Troyzan throwing shade. We don't normally, the new era people don't throw shade. So here's Troyzan throwing shade. And I'm not going to deny nor confirm anything. I'm just going to sit here and smile. That's
I beat him at that pop thing or whatever.
Ozzy
in a challenge. I was like, you can't be too hard to beat.
Well, yeah, Ozzy's not aware that he is known as the challenge guy. And so he just doesn't grasp it. He uses Survivor and does one aspect of it. He doesn't do the social part. He doesn't do anything else except he's going to be the food provider and supposedly the shelter builder guy or whatever. That doesn't count for him. I mean, after a while, that's like whatever. That's like maybe way back in the day, the guy who got food was a big deal. Anymore, it's like we learn to starve. It's like that's okay, whatever. And you know, you're a challenge guy. You're great for my team. I'm keeping you around until the merge. But guess what? First guy, first name, Ozzy.
Yeah.
Do you think there will ever be a season where someone wins because they got the most fish for everybody?
Well,
that's happened. Yeah.
The big dude that played like four seasons ago.
Oh, right? Yeah. Jonathan. Yeah.
Jonathan. Yeah. He was close. I mean, I thought like, oh, this, here it goes. The typical guy is going to screw, you know, but he was for some reason a little bit better, and maybe he was just a little bit more savvy as far as like, you know, gameplay and strategy. Although it's hard to really strategize now in this era, and honestly, from the last, I could be even before, you know.
Sari couldn't strategize at your tribal council.
I'm just saying, there's so many things going on now.
I agree.
A really good strategist and a good game player, that's fine. That's about 40% of it, because there's so much luck now. I mean, luck is 50%. Sorry, it is.
That's too much too. Like, I'm wondering if there's ever a time that you were on the show where you're like, thank God everybody has a vote. Cause if one of my allies was on a journey, I probably get like five places before what I actually got. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean,
I hate lost votes.
Like one rule was still in the era of like, you know, one idol per tribe, mm-hmm. not even sure if there's might be one idol for the entire season. Are they going to replace an idol? They didn't. So it's like, and just back in the day, like, you know, the hidden immunity idol was a big deal. Because there was only one, and the entire season, there was no advantages. Jeff told us before the show, there's not an exile island or any kind of island. Once you're voted out, you're out. So it's like, you really had to play because you were scared to death. Like, there's no redemption. There's no coming back. There's no extra anything to get you. You can't cancel someone's vote out. You can't cancel an idol out. You mm-hmm. If you're good socially, which was 75% of it, you can get to the end or get to the merge and get yourself going. So, but that's all that's completely that game's out.
Yeah.
I don't think that's ever coming back.
So when you were playing, since you had idols, I forget, when did you get your idol in One World?
I got it right when we merged. Yeah. We merged, and I remember just looking at the camera guy and going, everyone's asleep. You know, I wake up at 4 a.m. I said, I'm going out and I'm searching for the damn idol. Colton had gotten sick and he went home. Then we merged. So I thought like, and I think someone said that Colton had an idol. So I'm like, there's an idol now. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be the first guy. It's the merge. 100% there's an idol there somewhere. So I got up in the morning and just started, you know, searching around, looking for camera guys. Where are they at?
Yeah. Yeah, I know you. Troy's now mentioning getting up at 4 a.m. I know we're almost at 2 p.m. It's almost bedtime for Troy's and he's like,
yeah, you know. I know. I wake up at 4 a.m. even here. Well, this morning I woke up at 3:30.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. Crazy. Blake, we could have just done a midnight podcast with you.
Good. I'm ready to roll. Here we go.
So in both of your seasons, you went through tribal councils with an idol in your pocket that you did not play. For
Having idols is not that fun to have because you don't want to have it on you and you don't want to have it in your bag. So you have to constantly hide it and you hide it in different places because you don't want to be seen going to the same spot. Where's Troy Zan going? It looks like he goes there every day. What's he doing over there? So you hide it one place. And then you got to remember like, oh shit, it was under, was it that palm tree? Or was it this palm tree? Like, oh God, I can't remember. So you obviously want to put like a marker, but nothing that looks like it, out of place. So every time you go to tribal council or a challenge, you stick it in your shorts. You go to the challenge, you take it out of your shorts when you go see the doctor and you stick it in your bag because they can't look in your, no one can look in your bag then. And you're constantly thinking who can look where. So you're in the shorts, out of the shorts, back for the whole entire time. And on mm-hmm. Game Changers, and I think I've told you this before, Sandra made a fake idol and which is hanging up back there. You guys want to see it?
Sure. Yeah, pull it out. Let's see it. Everybody gets to see Sandra's fake idol now.
So, and it's a damn good fake idol. This is before, like, look at that. That she
just to add to the Queen's repertoire.
She walks out of the woods and she's got something like stuffed in her bra, like this, right? And it's all crunching and crinkling. And we're going, what the hell? And Caleb goes, she got something in her shirt and her bra. I go, yeah. And he goes, Sandra, what's going on with her? She goes, all right, you guys, but I'm busted. She pulls this out. I go, oh my God, that's amazing. That's a freaking awesome looking idol. So then we knew we were going to switch tribes. She goes, I don't want this. I don't want a target. I don't want this on my, you know, I said, I'll take the damn thing. I'll use it. I'll, you know, so it looks like a real deal, you know, but that's back when you had to wear them. So I had to actually stretch this out so you could actually stick it over your head. Mm-hmm. And I never had a chance to actually, you know, there was never a moment where I needed to fake somebody out. I was almost going to do it during the Ceree thing where I was going to give this to Ceree and go, Ceree, you're safe. Just to fuck with her. Then
you really got it.
You gave her a fake idol and you voted her ass out. That you're mean. So I had to take this idol and the idol I found, which is fairly big, and hide both these every time I did anything. It was like, oh my God. It's like, so you stick two idols in your shorts, you go off in the woods and you bury it. And then you come back from trying, then you go get it because you don't want anybody, you know, it's like, it's a lot. So, but you know, you do feel, you know, that much safer and you play just so much more calm, which does help your game because people that are around you, if you're calm and not a paranoid person, they like you and they'll talk to you more. And, you know, you guys don't see a lot of that, but your strategy is a lot different and your conversations are just calm and you become a calm person to people and like, oh, I like that Troy Zane guy. Well, okay, I'll keep voting the same. Well, mm-hmm. we're good. He's a trustable guy. He seems like he's level-headed, you know, because I have an idol. I'm like, I'm not that worried because if anything happens, I'm like, I'm playing it 100%.
Not going to be me, yeah. And Thomas,
I had the fake one. I felt like it was even more safe because I would have actually had this fall out of my bag or do something where people are like, oh my, he's got an idol, mm-hmm. you know, and then say like, well, I'm safe, but you know what? I think you're less safe here. You take it at tribal and give it to somebody. So like,
and
I
had to be accused of bullying in the new era.
I had plans for it. Just never, it never came up. I wish I would have had a chance. Maybe I would have got a vote.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Aubrey's statement at the end of don't give up, there's still a chance, and then you don't get a vote. I was like, why'd they leave that in? Why'd you give us hope? Why'd you do this to us?
I know. Well, there was a lot. I mean, that was a long
time. I want to live in a world where you win Survivor, Troy Zane.
Okay, well, stay tuned.
Yeah. But let me bring this up then. So you've survived tribals with idols in your pocket where you didn't play them.
Yeah.
For players who are going to go out there, and now they've seen this happen to Jem, this happened to Chelsea way back in season 39, which isn't way back, but in season 39, right. It happened to Chelsea. We've seen it happen to Aubrey even. Saw it happen to Kelly. How are you – what is your advice to players who are going out there, who they find an idol? How do you say, like, read this room correctly? Because you didn't get voted out with an idol in your pocket. And we can say you played the one-in-one world wrong, but Jay ran over to tell Kim your exact plan, right. Which is why Jay ultimately went home. So really, he played that.
I told him, bro, you're going to go home. Like, you're good.
And he was like, no. Yeah. But so, like, what's your take on that? What's the feel? How can somebody prevent themselves from falling into Jem's trap here?
Well, for me, you always have a number one person that you can't trust anybody 100% going in. So that's one thing. You can never say you're my 100%. I trust you. You know, I trust you 80% and I trust you 60. So I'm going to go with the 80% person mm-hmm. all the time. And the thing is too, like I said, you have to listen to Jeff at Tribal Council. He's going to let you know in a sense, if you're, you know, by his questions to not just to you, other people where you're kind of mentioned indirectly, you have to pick that up. And I was like, there were moments, I mean, I definitely picked it up in one role. He was saying a lot and I'm like, you know, and everything told me, you know, that the girls, I mean, when I asked him point blank, are you voting me out tonight? And her reaction was just so like, oh, what? And she's looking around, her eyes are twitching. I'm like, oh God, that's like she's voting my ass out. And then I turned to Chelsea instantly. I said, Chelsea, are you voting me out tonight? Because she trusted me like she thought it was like her dad. I said, swear on your father's life. And she goes, oh, I can't do that. So I'm like, okay, well, I know you can't because guess what? You're voting me out. So I knew. I'm like, I asked questions to people, like, just in general. And I want their first reactions. Where do their eyes go? What does their mouth do? Do they do a fun, do they do a like nervous laugh or like, you know, or they use the words like, trust me, man, I'm good. Trust the words. Trust me are like, you might as well say, don't trust me.
Yeah.
So there's little things. And maybe that's just something that I just have had in my life where I just, you know, understand, you know, how people talk. I mean, I work with, you know, I'm a photographer, so I work with people a lot and talking back and forth and seeing where they're at. And some people are nervous about getting their picture taken. So you have to learn to calm them down, how to communicate. So, you know, if you have to be a good communicator, you can't just be, I know they like type A people and they're like that, but you have to be a communicator, you know, I mean, that's why they pick the people anyway, we're communicating to the audience. I always tell people, you want to get on Survivor, you got to be a story. You got to be able to speak. You got to just be a storyteller. You can be the worst athlete on the planet, and you don't have to be a Navy SEAL. You can be like whatever. But if you can tell a story, most likely they'll like, oh, well, they consider you. And it's the same with you telling stories to people out there.
and then listening to the stories that are back in your head and listening to Jeff's story. What is he saying to me? What's the questions he's asking? You know, and how many are pointed at me?
Yeah.
Oh, he's just asked me the fifth question and he's talked about like, do you feel like you're in trouble? I'm like, oh, okay. I get, yeah. Hi.
Yeah, so, I know they're not voting out Tarzan. That's
right. Yeah, exactly. They haven't asked him one question. If they ask someone zero, that person is safe as it gets. Sorry. So remember that.
That's great to note. It is, because I think that's where Jem was at a disadvantage last night, is she doesn't know how many questions Jeff generally asked her when she was safe. This was her first tribal, so she had nothing to base it off of.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's true too. Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit of bad luck to go into the, you know, first time to go to tribal and you just found your idol. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
that's always one thing that blows my mind about the new era, is like, it feels like Banu right now is in a power position because it's five versus three. And like, you almost want to do absolutely awful during pre-merge, so you set yourself up as the swing votes later.
Well, yeah, you want to be a swing vote, but for how long? Because at some point you have to let everyone else know, I'm playing a game and I'm playing it so well, this is why you're voting for me. It's hard to, I mean, I played from the bottom almost both seasons, you know, never was at a top position. And you have to convince people, like, you know, to keep you in, but you also have to convince people, like, I'm making suggestions and you're saying it, and then the camera's letting you say it and you look like you're winning, but I actually made the suggestion. I just never got showed because I never got any votes. So it's like, why am I going to show that, you know? So, I mean, every time I watch Survivor, I kind of watch the edit. I'm like, well, I'm not seeing that. And did they edit this challenge to make it look like this guy, you know, hit the target and when actually somebody else did, and, you know, make somebody look better than they are. And, you know, they're very good at letting the audience follow exactly kind of how they want you to follow it. I mean, it's like they do a great job, because when I played, I'm like, I knew what was happening out there. But then they'd show the show. I'm like, well, it didn't really happen that way. But someone would call me like, well, he did this. Why did he do that? I go, oh, my God, the editors are doing exactly what they want people to react like. Mm-hmm. And they do a very good job at it. And that's why the show is good. The editors know how to just guide everybody. This is the story. This is the one story that we want you to follow. Even though there's 10 stories going on, this is the one you're following. And this is the one everyone comments about and everyone thinks is it's the only story. But it's just, you know.
Whose story do you think this season is?
God, this is tough. I thought it was Jem's. You know, honestly, I did. It's tough to, I mean, like, honestly, for me, this new era, it's like it's really tough to know until the merge. Because, like, to me, it's like the anything goes. It's like, and is the Jem was the prime example. I'm like, I thought for sure was she's making the merge and doing like going far. Looked like she knew what she was doing. It looked like kind of a winner's edit somewhat. And I'm like, and then boom, she's not gone. So maybe they're not showing hardly anybody's game. And then all of a sudden the merge pops up. They kind of did that with Sarah Lucina in Game Changers. Mm-hmm. They didn't show much of her before the merge. And all of a sudden it's boom, showing a ton. And that's all, you know, and in general, that's really what most people that watch the show and they end up only knowing the last like four episodes with them. That's what sticks in their brain. They don't remember hardly anything. I mean,
they're not going to remember Jelinski for the rest of their lives.
No, I'm telling you. Okay. Go back to season 18 and tell me the person that got voted out is third. I mean, off the top of your head,
I'm just saying,
it's like, yeah, but you're a super fan. I'm just saying the general public, they just don't know. They don't remember that stuff. So it's like, they only remember really one or two things about every survivor, even like the top survivors. They're like, you know, you're Sandra. You're the girl that won twice. You know, mm-hmm. Oh, you're Troyzan. You're the guy who yelled, "This is my island." That's all they say. You know, they don't.
I was going to say that earlier whenever you were like, my password is survivor related. I was like, is it, this is my password?
I'm gonna tell you a secret. Well, I don't know if I should. I'll tell
now
you
we're on. Remember, there's
no. We're not live anymore. Go for
give
it.
Us give us your bank account information. What was that, real quick?
Yeah. No, I'll tell you off the air. So I did visit Fiji again last October. Went back, And I went to Mauna Island, which is where they have tribal council built. It's where the crew stays, but it's where the majority of the challenges are. All those times where you see the hills and you see a cutout of like whatever the challenge, that's that island is called Mauna. And I stayed on that island again and kind of like saw where all the, you know, cutouts were. And there's still some platforms from some of the challenges there. Tribal council obviously torn down, nothing's there. And then we stay on like Monariki, they show that every scene. That's the, I don't know if you guys noticed, there's an island where like two kind of beaches go together. There's a big rock formation kind of in the middle. That's like kind of the main island. That's called Monariki or Castaway Island. That's where they filmed Castaway there. But they filmed it on the other side of the island. So we never got to go down to see where Tom Hanks was. We were like, you really film here? It's like, where is it? Oh, no, that's off limits to the survivors.
Gotcha.
Was it fun going back though? Did you?
Oh yeah. I actually did it in 2018 with Ty and Michelle and met up with Jenna and Sebastian who were already in Fiji. And we had an absolute blast. I mean, we went back to Monariki, sat exactly where we slept. Like we were looking at each other, like, dude, this is the tree. And we looked and there's still notches in it from like, you know, day one, day two, day three. And Ty started crying. He's like, oh, this is where we slept every night right here. And Brad was here and me and fire. And then, you know, it's like the trails are still there. It's just weird to go there. You expect a cameraman to come out of around the corner or a tribe mate because, you know, you're walking on the same trail, but there's nothing there. It's an empty island. It's nothing. So going back is kind of emotional because, you know, I was 39 days on the same island pretty much. And so it was one of those where, wow, I'm really back, you know, and it took us it was a long walk to, you know, we had to land on one part of the island because the tide was high. We had to basically walk the entire island, which took us about 2 hours on these like real sheer cliffs. We're like, someone's going to die.
And there's no cameraman to watch that. At that point, it's like, bye, Troy.
Yeah. And it's crazy cool to go back and see where the challenges were because you're like, oh my God. Because, you know, when we get out of the boat, they either blindfold you or they tell you, do not look that direction. Because that direction is a whole village of Fijians. And we thought we were on like some, you know, deserted island. They always make it seem like it. There's no one there except us and the crew. So I was shocked to see, you know, there's a hotel, there's a whole little village there, you know, Fijian school, the whole, you know, the whole thing. So it's like,
not the illusion.
Yeah. And it's cool. Cause you know, I'd look at one section, I go, oh my God, the final, you know, challenge was right here that they built the slide there. And that's, I remember looking at that hill. And so it's like, you know, that's kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So to kind of like put a little bit of a bow on this, I think gambling with your idol in the new era, you might as well just play it. Cause there's probably going to be a new one. I think that's kind of like what the move is. Don't overthink it. And just to get Troyzan nice and heated before we get off of here, here's Thomas McGee. Troyzan, in Game Changers, do you consider you telling the jury that you would opt out and they can decide between Sarah and Brad as a way of giving up and or quitting? Troyzan, this is one of our very dedicated fans, so
what
be generous.
What
the
heck, Thomas?
first of all, that guy wasn't there. He didn't, the tribal council lasts. That one is even longer. It's only like 2.5 hours. And it was the first time they had this new era tribal council where it wasn't like one by one, someone can come up and ask you a question, you know, which I wanted, the one-on-one. This is more like one person can stand up and basically, you know, in a sense say, I'm voting for you. And that's what happened. I mean, Zeke stood up pretty much and said, Sarah, you have my vote. And this is the reason why. And I'm just going to ask a few questions. And they did the same thing. I didn't get a question for like 25 minutes. So in my mind, I'm like, they already consider me. First of all, the majority of the tribal council, the final tribal council jurors were all from the Nuku tribe, which I didn't start on. There was only Haley and Michaela and Aubrey. That's it. So they didn't see the first part of my game. They didn't see that I had a big part of voting Tony out. You know, they didn't see me finding an idol. They didn't see anything I did in the first 10 days. So that in their minds, I didn't do anything, you know, and Brad was winning. And in their minds, I was just following him. They didn't see any conversations that I had. And I think I've told it to Phil before where I would say, I'd be in a group with Sarah and Brad. And they would say, I don't know, what do you think? I said, I think that Andrea is the strongest person. She's got to go. And they're like, that makes sense. And I said, and then why do you, and then they'd ask me why. And I'd give them a reason. I'd walk off the camera guy or at tribal, Sarah would get asked the question, something about Andrea.
And she's like, yeah, Andrea's this. She sees, you know, the threat and this and that. And so she would say it. So obviously the audience thinks that it was her idea. Mm-hmm. When it, and I get it, because if you're going to win, they're going to make you look the best. And they're not going to show every little thing that I said and did. So at that point, I was kind of like, you know, this jury has their mind made up. And I actually want to say something that makes sense to them. And I was friends with every single person on that jury. And I had a close relationship and did a lot of things where it's like, was it, you know, and so I basically went one-to-one. They cut the majority of out. I went to each individual juror and I said, remember, Ty, when we caught that eel and your blood all over your hand, you were screaming and crying and you kissed me on the cheek. And you know, he started laughing. Then I said, you know, every day, Sari, you'd ask me for my flip-flops and you give me the peace out sign. And, you know, and I'd go to Andrea and, you know, I went to each individual person and said something. And they were just kind of shocked that I remembered, like, you know, the names of their horses or their kids or whatever we talked about personally. And that's why I said to Jeff, like, you know, listen, I'm going to talk to the jury now. I'm just Troy. This is like not really part of the game. And I wanted to say that because it's been a big part of my life. And I wanted them to know, without you guys, I can't be on Survivor, wouldn't have the Survivor experience. And that's why I said, you know, me sitting on the couch in the year 2000, watching Richard Hatch, you know, run around naked and people are eating rats. I'm like, whatever this is, I got to be a part of. And if you would have told me, it's me sitting in front of this little dinky TV that, Troy, you're going to play this game not only once, you're going to play it twice. You're going to play with Ozzy and Sari and Tony and Sam. I'd be like, you're crazy. That's never going to happen. So I wanted them to know. And actually, no one ever saw this. After it was done and the tribal council was over and they brought out pizza and people, and Jeff Probst pulled me aside, like personally, he goes, Troy, said, come here. He goes, I have done 34 final tribal councils. I've never heard a speech like that ever. It was the best speech I've ever heard. He goes, I'm going to try to play it all. I'm not sure if I can. But so when he said that, I was kind of like, you know what? If coming from Jeff, if you said that, it makes me, I know I'm not going to win, but it makes me feel like that much better.
Yeah.
You know? So that's, and no one knows that stuff. So it's like, you know, they think I quit or I didn't, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm not a quitter. I didn't quit the game. I just was like, I wanted to get out what I wanted to say. It made it sound like, you know, hey, I'm out, I'm done. You know, still wanted to say, you know, but you got to get to the point where, like, you feel the jury, you know what I mean?
Don't, yeah, you know, it's over.
Yeah. You can't, you know what I mean? If
it's kind of like your own terms too, I'm going to reframe this and be happy about this.
Yeah. If I'm in a football game in fourth quarter and there's 30 seconds left and it's 45-3, I'm like, I'm just going to say, hey, listen, man, I had a good time. Mm-hmm. What do you say? You know, it's all you can do. I mean, I know a lot of people don't, then super fans and people want you to really just try everything to the end. You do everything you can. I played a game that I thought would win, and in other seasons it might have, where I played kind of a low key game and played under the radar and it was kind of like anybody but me, Sanders type thing. And she won a couple times. And, you know, if I would have won, they would have shown a lot of stuff that I did. I didn't. So, you choose kind of your game and you really you can't veer too far from it, you know. So it's what I chose. It didn't work. So, you know what I mean? You got to come back for a third time's a charm. And
hey,
by the way, how did the pizza taste whenever you got it after 39 days?
Anything tastes fantastic. Honestly, they could bring out the butt of a skunk and you'd like, that's good stuff right there, buddy. Cause you know, your taste buds are only used to like just coconut for 39 days and some plain fish after all. But then after a while, and it's not even fish because no one wants to fish because no one wants to get caught, you know, doing other stuff. So you eat coconut for 5 days in a row and you know, your taste buds. So pizza is like, oh my God. And beer, you know, so yeah, it's like everything that you eat and you can eat, and then you're like, I will eat everything and anything. Mm-hmm. When you go to Ponderosa, then when you come home, you know, you wake up at 2 a.m, you're hungry, like, oh, I can eat. I'm going to open the fridge. Oh, 8, you know, 3 Snicker bars right in a row.
I love that.
Like, because you're so skinny, you can eat anything. I mean, I remember going to the store just buying like steak and donuts and all kinds of just whatever, eat like that for like a week.
got back up to fighting weight, also had the worst stomach pains probably of your entire life, right?
I was smart about that. I didn't eat crazy right out of the game. I ate like minimal, and I didn't do a bunch of carbs because the carbs will blow you right up. So I was smart about that. I ate a lot of protein and just kind of like I ate a little and then I would stop. Then I would like, okay, I'm hungry. I eat a little more. Other people would stuff themselves and like, oh God. Yeah. And you go over there and their ankles are like this big.
Well, hopefully one day we get to see a zero vote finalist season of Survivor. Cause I feel
there's a lot of good zero vote finalists.
Michelle, Troy Zan, Steven, even in the new era, Jake, Owen,
crazy Carolyn,
bring
back Becky.
Yeah. I mean, there's a Becky.
Yeah. Becky, I think would be the second person they would call for this season. I think you're right. Bill. I think you're onto something there. Hope you all enjoyed this podcast. Hope you all enjoyed listening to Troy Zan. It's always a good time to have Troy Zan back on my screen. It's been too long. And we live not that far from each other, but, you know, we've never felt further apart. That's the sad part, you know?
I know. It's always fun to come on with Phil. I would say, you know, I do miss Alexa a little bit. Come on, you know, she's, you know, Blake, you're not quite as hot as Alexa, so I don't know what to tell you.
Even with his Jurassic Park hat on, he tried to get your approval, but that's not even working. Oh, what about that look he just gave you? That didn't work for you?
Yeah, you might have bigger breasts than Alexa, though, maybe? I don't know.
As Blake's little whatever thing in the background is over there.
What's that? What is that picture? What's that picture behind you?
We're out of here. All right, everybody. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you all enjoyed this podcast. And we'll be back. Will and I will be back on, what day is it? Sunday. We're going to be back with Sabaya doing our predictions and power rankings. Troy Zan, it's always a pleasure.
It was great. Thanks, guys.
This episode sponsored by Maximus Tribe. You train, you track, you eat right. But if you're over 40, you've felt it. The results don't match the effort anymore. That's not willpower, it's biology. Hormones drop, metabolism slows, your body stops responding the way it used to. Maximus is the online clinic that reverses your decline with prescription performance medicines, GLP-1s, testosterone, and peptides that reduce belly fat, restore energy, and boost recovery. Over 50,000 high performers have already broken through their plateaus. If you're ready to turn your hard work into measurable results, go to MaximusTribe.com. That's MaximusTribe.com.